We are continuing our series in 1 Corinthians, so let's go ahead and jump over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we're picking up. This is on page 1214. And then when you get there, I'll give you a couple of announcements here and some things to be in prayer for. I hope you had a chance when you got home to look up Bibleline Broadcast Network on your phone, on your computer. Some are asking, they want to get the radio show on their computer. If you do that, there's a different way, and I didn't cover it today, and I forgot to do that. But if you just type in anchor, like a boat anchor, anchor.fm, like FM radio, / Bibleline, you'll be able to find where you can listen to it on your computer. They'll even walk you through how to add it so that every time you open up your browser, like when you go search on the internet, it will check for a new show and then tell you that a new show is available. So that's anchor.fm/Bibleline. We're going to be doing the best that we can to get that material in your hands. So with cards, with our visitor packets, all those things will have information in it. But I encourage you to support those ministries by watching and listening to them and sharing them, because I really do believe it reaches people for Christ. Just this past weekend, I got an email from our friend Daniel in Ireland. Daniel has been taking the personal evangelism classes. I think he's actually finished the college course for personal evangelism. And he emailed me yesterday with some questions, and I answered his questions, and then he said, I've had two more friends trust the Lord this week. So I think that's great, and I think that's all a product of what God's Word is doing through this ministry here. So I want you to be a part of that. And then I want you to make sure you're here next Sunday morning at 10:30 for Freddie Coyle. He'll be speaking, and I'm looking forward to that. And then the following Sunday, January 17th, we will have our kids programs come back, so be here for that too. So if you'll take your Bibles, and we're already there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to talk about the carnal Christian. We're in a study right now through 1 Corinthians titled Growing Pains. We've been studying this over the course of 8 weeks. This is the sixth message in the lecture. I didn't teach for 2 weeks, but the goal here is to just observe what the Corinthian church was struggling with and mark those things in our lives as a reminder. Just things that we can avoid, how we can not make those same mistakes, especially in our ministry here, but also in our personal walk with the Lord. I want to just remind you that when you put your trust in Jesus Christ alone, you receive something. You are now adopted, and you receive an inheritance. You are a part of God's family. That makes you a child. It's similar to when you were born. You had to grow up. And when you were a little baby, every need that you had needed to be addressed by somebody else. Somebody else needed to bathe you. Somebody else needed to change you. Somebody else needed to feed you. There was somebody who was set to take care of you. And it is the same way when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. This is why it's so important that new believers get into a solid church. Because if they get into a church that doesn't teach good, doesn't teach well, doesn't do that great of a job with doctrine, they can go off into error. They won't lose their salvation, but they won't really understand what God's Word has to say. This is why we need to take such a strong stance against heretical doctrine, similar to things like Calvinism or Arminianism, all those different lordship salvation. We should know what those are. And we should be able to mark them and avoid them. The only way we know that is by somebody teaching us, either the Word of God or a teacher through the Word of God, and you have to be willing to receive that instruction. The Corinthian church here was not ready to grow. We saw in chapter 1 how they took sides. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Peter. And they were beginning to split into these different groups. And more importantly, they were focusing on what man's wisdom could generate, what man could end up saying, what all of the knowledge of man could accumulate to, and they were letting the things of God fall underneath that. They were even bringing man's wisdom onto the same level as the Word of God. And it's important that we recognize what they were doing and see that those same things can happen to us. And so Paul talks to them about how things that are spiritually discerned are that way because they are of God. We talked about that last week, how there are things of God that we cannot understand without the Holy Spirit living and indwelling us. So as we study God's Word, we can understand what His Word has to say through the Holy Spirit. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to get to the reason why the Corinthian church is struggling. Look in verse 1 of chapter 3. "And I, brethren," this is so important that you recognize the address he talks to these believers. They are brethren. You may have people in your family that they don't do right. They're still in your family. We have to remember that. The goal, when someone's not doing right, the goal should be to restore them, not banish them out and, you know, simply want nothing to do with them. There needs to be a restoration process, an attempt. Now, as you go through 1 Corinthians, you'll see where there was a time where someone did need to be taken out of the church. And there are examples, and I think it's clear you'll find what those examples are. But when a believer is having a hard time, when a believer is stuck in sin, you and I, which are spiritual, as it says in Galatians 6:1, restore such a one. And that comes with a certain attitude. We have to be willing to deal with people who are once where we were. We have to be willing to submit ourselves to helping someone who needs help. We can't always look and say, well, I only socialize with this group of people because they're on the same level as I am. We need to be willing to reach down to those that need help. But Paul calls them brethren. At no point, even in the state that he's about to describe where they were they lost again? Did they need to be regenerated again by the Holy Spirit? It's important to understand that. There is such a thing as a carnal Christian, and you're going to see it right here. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Babes in Christ, that phrase, it means lacking spiritual maturity. Paul understood their lack of spiritual maturity when he first spoke with them, because he had just led them to the Lord. And he spent many, many days with them, and they grew. But since some time has passed, they're still in the same state. They've allowed that carnality, that walking in the flesh, to keep them from growing into more spiritual maturity. Verse 2, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." I think this is important to see what Paul is saying here. He's saying, when I first came in touch with you, I taught you with milk, the simple things, the Bible doctrine, so to speak, the basic tenets of the faith. And that's because you were not able to understand the deeper things. But look what he says at the end of the verse. "Neither yet now are you able." Some time has passed. And Paul is having to write a letter to them because they have not grown. What's the thing that we can learn from here? Believers can stay in a babe-like state for a long portion of their lives. How does this happen? If you're taking notes, I'm just going to go through 6 points of how a believer can stay in a babe-like state. The first point is a lack of experience. A lack of experience. And I'll give you personal testimony from my life. When I made the decision in 2007 that I was going to dedicate my life to the Lord, I had no experience in what dedication of my life to the Lord was like. None. I went to camp. I had already trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I went to summer camp. I was motivated to do more with my life than what I was already doing. But when I left the summer camp and I got back into high school, I didn't know how to serve the Lord. I knew I had made this commitment, but I could not look to somebody in my life who could help me see what that looked like. I lacked experience. And so naturally, I just went to what I already had experience in. being a teenager, being rebellious. Those things I knew how to do well, because that's where I was in my stage of life. And then in 2008, I rededicated. And then in 2009, I rededicated. You maybe have experienced this same pattern when you were younger. You see the need, but you lack the experience. Well, in 2011, when I rededicated, which I don't believe you rededicate. I think it's a one-time thing. You just got to get back on track. When I got back on track in 2011, what I decided to do differently was learn my Bible. And that changed everything about my service to the Lord. I started coming to every church service that was available. One of the things I wish I was able to do more of was the men's Bible study. But that was on a Saturday, and I typically worked on Saturdays. But when I had a Saturday off once in a while, I was so excited if that Saturday matched up with the men's Bible study. Why? Because I had a desire to learn from God's Word. Someone that has taken time to prepare God's Word, I want to sit under that teaching. But the way a person can stay in a babe-like state is they lack experience. And then number two, they lack patience in the process of maturity. There is time that is involved. It doesn't have to be a long time. You can be fruitful within minutes of your salvation by sharing that same message with someone else, and they come to put their faith in Christ. You're fruitful. Walking with the Lord takes time. When you go on a walk, the next time you plan to drive somewhere and you go and open up your iPhone or you go and use the navigation app, just for fun, you'll see there's like four different ways of how you can get to your destination. One's by car, right? Another is by maybe, if it's available, public transit. Another's by bicycle. Just for fun, type in your address from church and say, how long would Google tell you it takes to bike to your location? It'll be longer. The last option is a little guy, and he's mid-stride. Walking takes time. Is it faster to drive home or walk home? It's a tough question, but I think you can find out the answer. It's faster to drive home. And when you walk, there are more things that are going to be brought to your attention that you have to react to. It was so weird today when I was driving home. We're driving across the Hillsborough Avenue, and this young woman just starts walking out into the middle of traffic. And she is so prideful about walking out into the middle of traffic. And of course, I slowed down. And as she passed, I'm watching her pass, and then I just let my gaze continue to Kyla. And her gaze meets mine, and we're like, what's going on? When you walk, you've got to pay attention a little bit more than you do when you're doing something else, because people are not looking out for you. But walking with the Lord takes time, and that requires patience. Here's what will help you develop patience. God knows exactly what you need. He has a plan for you already. He's just asking you to submit. Just do the things you know you're supposed to do, and I'll take care of the rest. But because we lack experience and we lack patience in the process, here's what starts to happen. We begin to talk to other people who are just as frustrated as we are. That's a dangerous thing. It's called gossip. And gossip can destroy a ministry in a matter of months that God took years to build. Maybe you've seen the effects of gossip in your life. But it's all a process. We don't just fall out of nowhere. There's a little bit of stumble before you end up falling. But it's that lack of experience. Number two, a lack of patience. Number three, gossip among similar frustrated believers. And then number four, here's the hook of it all. It is pride in our own thoughts. We begin to look critically upon those who are where we want to be. We used to think, man, I want to be like so-and-so, or man, I want to do like this person. And then as we are not patient, we have all that lack of experience. Now we've talked to people that have given value to our frustrations. We begin to have pride. Well, you know what? Maybe I'm not supposed to be that way. It's different for me. Sure, this person had to do what the Bible says, but I believe I need to do this. You know, I was listening to a sermon by Curtis Hudson. If you have a YouTube account, you need to listen to Curtis Hudson. That guy is fantastic. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And in the beginning of his message, he said, "Today I took my outline and that I have planned and I tucked it into the back of my Bible." And you know, when you hear that, you're about to hear something good. Because it's something that I believe God had brought to his attention that needed to be addressed right there in that moment. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And he was talking about how do we get the Holy Spirit. And he remembers he would go to bookstores and he would read of John R. Rice and Spurgeon and all of these great prayer warriors. And he was talking about why can't I pray down the Spirit? Why can't I experience that? And he realized he has all the Holy Spirit he ever needed the day he put his faith in Jesus Christ. And that changed his outlook on the Holy Spirit. But he said something about what people say in their experiences. When Curtis Hudson would be talking to an individual and they would start to talk about their experiences, Curtis Hudson would recognize their experiences don't line up with what the Word of God says. So here's what he would do. "But the Bible says..." And he'd complete that point. Here's what he always heard from the person on the other side. "Well, I don't know what the Bible says. I just know what I've experienced." I remember listening to that and pausing the message and thinking, I'm so glad I'm not alone in having heard that statement. We have got to be careful that our experiences don't outweigh what the Bible says is true. Can you experience a deception? Yes, you can. Talking with a young lady who's been coming to our church for a couple of months now, and she talked about how her experiences to open her third eye before she came to the Lord, she was trying to get into the spiritual realm, and she was seeing things and experiencing things, and they were real to her. And she recognized these things are not right, but she still experienced them. There is an attack, there is an effort, there is an organized movement on your mind. You've got to accept this because it is true. The things that you watch, the things that you listen to, it's in our politics, it's in our media, it's everywhere. There is an attack for your mind. There's also an organized movement in the Bible for your mind. If I were you, since this is the Word of God, I want to know what it says about how I should think and how I should live. But a babe in Christ, someone who does not grow, is somebody who does not know the Word, nor do they try to know it. They rely on experiences. This is why I think it's so dangerous, the modern Christianity today. I'm not saying it's bad to dress culturally appropriate. But, you know, sometimes I look at these pastors on TV and I go, he seems like he wants to be more like the world instead of more like what the Bible teaches. And the music follows suit. And the teaching follows suit. That's why a question and answer program is rare. Because a lot of these pastors and teachers are not able to sit on a radio show and answer questions. Enough of that. Pride in our own thoughts. Number five, that pride leads to rebellion against spiritual leaders. Sometimes it's open. You'll say things that maybe you wouldn't have said a couple of weeks ago, but you know what? I've had enough. And then it continues. And the last thing that happens is a searing of your conscience with continual sin. We can sear ourselves from God's moving, from the Holy Spirit prompting us to get right. We can sear ourselves. Hold your spot here in 1 Corinthians and go over to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. In a Scofield Bible, it's on page 1295. There's an application that we see in verses 12, 13, and 14 of Hebrews 5. "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, maturity. It takes time. But there is a way that you can be a mature Christian and slide yourself all the way back to a babe in Christ. How does that happen? You do those six things. Lack of experience. And let me tell you how you solve that lack of experience. You get involved. Just get involved. Find a way to serve in your local church. Find time to listen to the services that are given. I think it's great that when you come to church, especially on Sunday nights when we do verse by verse through 1 Corinthians, that you have a pad of paper and a pencil with you. I think that's just a good habit. And I only tell you that because that's how I started to really learn. Y'all remember when Dr. Hank Lindstrom had his Tuesday night classes? Man, 1 and 2 Thessalonians in my Bible was just one giant highlight mark. It was like I had a highlighter the size of the page and I just went, ooh, all of this. And then I turn the next page and go, whoa, this too. I was just like drenching the page. I make a joke about that, but I really do remember underlining my Bible and circling words and connecting them with another word because there were things that I was supposed to learn from the study of God's Word. Do good Bible study. There's a ministry here that wants to help you in that way, through the college and through just regular Sunday services. Go back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. So believers are supposed to grow over time. Well, how is that accomplished? Well, I'm going to give you six ways that you can grow. Number one, follow Jesus Christ. And in parentheses in my notes, I put study his life. I think it would be a great practice for every believer to stay informed through the book of John. Just read how Jesus interacted with people in the Gospel of John. See what he said. See what he said about himself. See what he said about others, how he interacted with people. That John chapter 4, I'll be honest with you, this morning I was tempted to just finish the message in John 4. Because there are so many good little nuggets in there that you can take with you. Know him. Know what Paul says about him. Know what Peter says about him. Read your New Testament. Look at the prophecies in the Old Testament that talk about Christ. I think it's funny, well, you know, and I say this lovingly, that we're all trying to find out who the Antichrist is. And we all want to put a name on it and all that. Friend, let's help the lost find out who the real Christ is. I'm not saying that kind of prophetic study of end times is fruitless, but it can be. I don't know how people get my email, but a lot of times I'll get something in my inbox and I'll go, what? How? How do we get to that point? I think the Antichrist is on the scene. I don't know if he's been revealed yet. I don't think he will be until the rapture happens. And then that plan will set into motion. But I know if the rapture is very close, I want to be spending my time making sure people come with me and not experience being left behind because the deception will be great. In 2 Thessalonians 2, we see that delusion is going to be very, very strong. And it's going to be a sad day when people take that mark. You know, the mark of the beast, I don't think, is anything that changes your DNA and makes you unsavable. The Lord did not die on the cross so that he could save your body. He died on the cross to save your soul. And so it's important for us to understand a person that takes the mark of the beast doesn't disqualify themselves from salvation. I think when Jesus makes that statement, he's looking into time and making a true assessment. All of those who take the mark, they don't end up trusting. They do not end up believing. And that's a part of that strong delusion that will be about this world. Know who Jesus Christ is. Study his life. Number two, develop the fruit of the Spirit. Hold on to 1 Corinthians. Travel over to Galatians. I was tempted to say gallop to Galatians, but I just didn't. I just didn't do it, except for now. Galatians chapter 5 in verses 22 through 23. I thought about just reading these, but I want you to see where it is in the scripture. These are nine different corners of your life that you can keep tidy. Let's see what they are. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Well, Jesse, how can I have joy when I'm suffering? It's a state of mind. Happiness and sadness are reactionary. Something can happen to you and you react in a sad way, in a happy way. Joy is a state of mind, where you are, what you are rooted in. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We've got love, we've got joy, we've got peace. Long-suffering. Ooh, gentleness. Isn't it so funny when you get on your social media and you see how everyone, so-and-so burns, so-and-so rips, so-and-so destroys so-and-so. You ever see that? And it's all in caps. And I mean, there might even be little fire flames in the thumbnail of the video. And you're like, goodness. Gentleness. Ooh, let's be gentle. Goodness, faith, meekness, strength, held in reserve. Mr. Brooks described it as throwing velvet-covered bricks. And if you just picture that in your mind, it's like, That's a good picture. Let's not throw any bricks, but, you know, if we are. Meekness and self-control, temperance. Against such there is no law. So as we grow, we're trying to follow Jesus Christ. We are trying to develop these different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Number three, bear fruit by planting seeds. Just very quickly, you can let Galatians go, hang on to 1 Corinthians, and look in John chapter 15. I remember learning this verse at summer camp and thinking, that is so simple and easy for me to understand and easy for me to go perform. John chapter 15 and verse 8, Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." I wanted to be a Christ follower. I wanted to be someone who could be looked at as a disciple. And it was so easy for me to see as a young man. How do I become a disciple? How do I bring glory to the Father? Remember how I was telling you this morning, it's not about following rules? Here's a guaranteed way to bring glory to the Father. Bear fruit. How do we bear fruit? We take tracks with us when we leave. We put those tracks in the presence of people who we do not know if they are saved or not. We are willing to have conversations with people, maybe even the first time we meet them. We're trying to win people to Christ. Well, I'm not trying to win them over to this church. I'm trying to win them into the church, the body of Christ. And that's how God is glorified. This is how you transform from that babe into one who understands and can use meat, one who is skillful. Number four, find out your spiritual gifts. Where do you fit in all of this? I was talking to a friend of mine up in Chicago, and we were talking about Kyla. He was asking me, "Is Kyla working with you yet?" And I said, "Yeah, she's been working at the church for like a year, at least 2 years now." And we ended up talking about spiritual gifts because I told my friend, I'm so glad that Kyla has areas of expertise that I just don't have. Yes, thank you, Bob. Her administration skills, organization skills, she has an eye for that stuff. It's something that is fun for her to do. I rely on her in that way. And I believe wholeheartedly that God works through the two of us understanding how we work. There are things that I don't ask her to do because I know she's not gifted in that way. And there are things she doesn't ask me to do because I'm not gifted in that way. Now, I tried this with dishes and laundry early, and I failed. As a matter of fact, I've been told to say, I am able to put dirty clothes in the hamper. I've met my quota. No, just kidding. But know your spiritual gifts. Do you like to teach? Is it easy for you to speak in front of a crowd? Do you have a desire to win souls above the desire of others? Do you want to see things organized? Can you sing? Do you have a way with electronics? All of those things can be used. Find out those things. Number five, study the Bible. Study the Bible. And number six, pray often. I'm so excited about what we're doing with Wednesday nights. I really am. I think it's going to be a place where you can just bring the charger and plug in and get restored. So go back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. And as we wrap up here in these last couple of verses, I want to just recap the babe state and the mature state. You can stay as a babe in Christ as you lack experience, you lack patience, you gossip, you are stuck in pride in your own thoughts, you rebel against your spiritual leaders and God's word, and you are then seared to God's chastening in your life. You can come back from that, but it might take a little bit of breaking. I was just talking to an individual the other day. I said, you know what you struggle with sometimes? You're a wild soul. You want to blaze this path on your own. And you've got to realize, just like that wild horse must be broken, so it will be with you if you do not slow down and let God work in your life. I said it in a way that I think he would receive it well. But we got to be careful that we are not bringing extra judgment and chastening into our life. Always check and see if you're humble in the sight of others and in the sight of God. And how do you grow? You follow Jesus Christ, study his life, develop the fruit of the Spirit, bear fruit by planting seeds and soul winning, find out your spiritual gifts, study the Bible, and pray often. Now, that's a very small list, but it's a good start. There are 6 days coming up in this week. Try to just dedicate each one of those points to that day. Pray about it. And as we finish, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. Paul continues here, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you," and these are things that come with carnality, "envying and strife and divisions, are ye carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Those associations, it's not necessarily the association that's a bad thing. It's the fact that you're associating with somebody. You're lifting yourself up in carnality, in the flesh. "Who then is Paul," verse 5, "and who is Apollos, but ministers?" They are workers. And that is not a discredit on them, but we are all ministers. We have a responsibility to go and share the gospel and to live our life in separation to the Lord. "But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." Every man is going to be accountable to what the Lord has sent to him. Verse 6, "I have planted, Apollos watered," and this is the last point of what we're going to cover tonight, I want you to underline, "but God gave the increase." So many times I have people ask me in an email or just in personal questions, what is it to walk with the Spirit? It is to fully rely on God. Sometimes it's hard for me to explain. So the best I can explain to you is what I do in my life. There is a constant dependence in my life on the Lord. I'm serious about that. There are times where I will sit in that office or in my old office, and I will just think for a long time and talk with the Lord before I make a decision on something. When something happens immediately that challenges the way I wanted to previously do something, I bring that to the Lord. I'm so locked in with him, I just want to please him, that I check the choices that I make in my life. Because I know that if this ministry is going to go anywhere, it's got to go through him. It will not be because of me or because of you. It's got to be through him. And so I want to make sure I'm doing right by him. So I stay up to date on what's right in God's eyes by studying his word. I've read 1 Corinthians many times. I'm going to keep reading it many times. There are new things that I learn every time that I study God's word. God gives the increase, not man. Verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, don't get it twisted. In the next message, we're going to talk about how the Christian who is faithful receives a reward. But Paul is saying to these Corinthian believers, hey, the people you are associating with, they're not anything. It's me, God, that giveth the increase. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You do right because God is going to reward you based on what you do. And unlike how we can deceive others, we cannot deceive God. So he will rightfully reward us. But I just want to look one last time at the end of verse 6 because it is impressed upon me. But God gave the increase. I believe that one day you will stand before the Lord and you will be rewarded based on what you did for him. And that should be a great motivator. That God didn't just simply save you and then put you into robotic service. That he just doesn't want to use you for, you know, without any recognition. He wants to reward you. Just think about that for a second. God, the one of heaven and earth, the maker of all things known, chooses to use his creation to accomplish something and will reward you for it. That's love. That's something I want to be a part of. Don't you? When you stay in a babe-like state, when you allow your flesh to lead you, you're missing out. You are missing out. And these believers in Corinth were missing out. Wait till you see what they were allowing in their ministry. And you may even throw your hands on your hips and say, never here. But we commit those same sins in our mind all the time. Be careful. Before there's destruction, there's this little thing called pride. And it's little. And it will go through any crack, any sliver. It will. And it might stay there for months. And then one day it just like multiplies into this nasty thing. God gives the increase. Believers, we have to abide or remain in Jesus Christ. We don't have time to look at this, but please write down this verse passage. John 15, verses 4 through 5. And in that passage, circle where it says, abide. And then believers are to humbly submit to God so that he may work through us. In a great house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Be the vessel of honor in that great house. Now, all of the things that we talked about tonight, they're not, you know, if you have not believed on Lord Jesus Christ, you can't do these things in the eyes of God. You can deceive men, but you cannot deceive God. We are all accountable to what Jesus Christ did for us. What have you done in regards to Jesus? So if you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe if I were to ask you, do you know that you're going to heaven, and you don't know, you can find out right now, and I'm going to share that with you. This hand represents you and me. My wallet represents sin. I'm going to put this on top of my hand because we've all sinned. God loves us. He hates the sin. the penalty for one sin, as it tells us, the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God forever in a place called hell. Revelation 21:27 tells us that one lie keeps us out of heaven. And it's so important we recognize how serious sin is and that we all have it. Now, to get to heaven, it's a very simple thing, hard to do. You've got to be perfect. You have to have no sin. We all fall short of that. Now, the world will teach in many different religions that claim to know Jesus, that claim to know Christianity, or maybe they're foreign religions, say if you do works, you submit those on behalf of your sin, then God, because He is just, must accept them. That is not true. The only thing that God will accept as a payment for sin is death. So if you want to do the just thing, you'd have to die in payment for that sin. Do you want to do that? I don't want you to experience that. I don't think God does either. There are no good works that could ever get you to heaven. This hand represents Jesus Christ, and He was perfect. He was fully God and fully man. And what God did for us is He came, He died for us, He was buried, and He rose again 3 days later. We believe in the Trinity, believe that Jesus Christ is a part of that Trinity, and it's so important to understand, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so a person can have assurance of their salvation once they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for their sins. He has come back from the dead. There is no place where He is buried. He walked among man for 40 days after His resurrection, and then He ascended up. And the Bible tells us in John 14, He's going to prepare a place so that where He is, we may be also. But none of that applies to you. None of the teaching we did tonight applies to you if you have not put your trust in Him, if you have not believed on what He said He did for your sin. Put your trust in Him alone. And I want to encourage you to make sure that you understand that message. And if you already have put your trust in Christ, you're a child of God. Let's not be that obnoxious child that needs correction, that cannot experience the greater things of life because they are so immature. Let's begin to grow up. Let's begin to work on those different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Let's find out more about our Savior, and let's commit to winning people to Christ. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please, so no one is looking around. If you're here today and you have not understood the gospel, maybe it's the first time you've heard the gospel message given this way, I want to encourage you to answer this question in the quietness of your mind. Do I know I'm going to heaven when I die? If the answer is no, or maybe, you can get that figured out right now. You know you're a sinner. You know the wages of sin is death. Would you simply put your trust in Jesus Christ? Believe on Him that He paid for your sin. The moment that you do that, the Bible says you're saved and you'll never be lost again. If there's anyone here tonight that is trusting in Christ for the first time, I'd like to know. And, you know, I would like to see just a raise of hands if you trusted in Christ tonight for the first time. Raising your hand doesn't save you. It just lets me know that what I said made sense. Is there anyone at all? For all of those who are here in the audience, I pray that the teaching tonight, how you see God's word, is an encouragement to you. And maybe we shine a light on some things that we need to do better. Commit those things to the Lord. Give them to Him. Don't try to fix them on your own. Talk to the Lord in prayer. And then start making better decisions. God loves you. And you can do this. Father, thank You for the study of Your word. Thank you for all that you have already done in our lives. Give us a great rest of the week. And Lord, remind us in the quiet moments, in the early morning and in the late at night, to study your word. In Jesus' name we pray.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.